Hello, everybody, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P, where we talk golf, but with an academic twist. This time, we're going to dive a little bit into the Olympics, and it's not the famous names that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about somebody you may not have heard anything about before. So just sit back and let's get started. As I said, we are in the midst of, now by the time that you hear this podcast, the Olympics will probably be over, or at least close. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy the Olympics. I've always enjoyed some of the major sports, but also some of the more obscure ones that you don't get to see quite as much. And I love seeing the passion of these athletes and how they've worked. You've heard it all, you know, the stories and how they got there and just all these challenges. And, you know, it makes for great content, right? And it makes for good marketing. But, you know, this Olympics has had a lot surrounding it, of course, with COVID and everything. And so it's been a tough go for them to even get it going. But I'm glad that they did and that the athletes are there and that they are competing. And certainly, no question about it, as many of you, I'm sure, are interested in the golf part of it. And, you know, it's been a while since we've seen that, and women's golf only came back in 2016 after a really long hiatus of being gone. But, you know, as we watch golf in the Olympics, I know it's fun. It's you know, you get to see some pairings that you normally wouldn't see, and just some of the best golfers in the world, and it's fun. And plus, not to mention, thank goodness that Adidas allowed us to buy the Olympic apparel. So I don't know about some of you, but I've been donning my USA gear for a little while now, and I'll continue to wear it. But so that's been really fun. There's a huge long history, and it's out of the scope of this particular podcast, but of Olympic clothing, and you should look into it a little bit. Not just the golfers, but everybody, and how that's progressed over the centuries. I'm sure that you probably know that the first Olympic Games, there wasn't any clothing. So athletes competed with nothing. But then we moved on, and that's progressed into just some, you know, high-end designers, Ralph Lauren taking care of the USA team for several years now, over a decade, and from there. And there's some cool information out there about the Liberian team. You should look into that, about the designer who helped dress them. And it's fantastic. It's just an absolutely fantastic story. So anyway, all of that to say that if you look into some Olympics history, I don't know if you've done that, but there are some names and some stories that have gotten, of course, forgotten over the years. And that always happens, right? And there's one name, though, that is particularly maybe important. Yeah, I would say so. Important, or one that got lost a little bit throughout the years, that I think, you know, deserves a little bit of attention anyway. And this is women's golf. And her name was Margaret Abbott. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Margaret, but she was born in June of 1878. And she lived all the way into the 50s. She was actually born in India, but to make a very long story short, her mother was a widow, and her father died at a very young age. And the mother, her name was Mary. So we have Margaret the daughter and Mary the mother, and they moved to Boston. Now, her mother, you know, Margaret's mother, Mary, she worked, and she was an editor in at newspapers, and mainly Chicago. But when, you know, as the mother and daughter pair went on through life, you know, they lived in Paris for a while. And at the time when they were there, thank goodness, right, the Paris Olympics occurred. This was in 1900. And surprisingly enough, right, of the almost 1,000 athletes that were in the 1900 Paris Olympics, 22 of them were women. Yeah. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But because basically women in the Olympics at that point were only allowed to compete in, I believe it's five sports. And let me see if I can name them. They were croquet, sailing, tennis, equestrianism, and golf. So these were the only five that women were allowed to play in or to participate in, because of course all the other sports would do some sort of physical or mental harm, and you know that women are hysterical anyway, right? So that's all they were allowed to do. And what is interesting about her story is that she didn't even really know that she was the first woman to win a medal in women's golf. She didn't know it. And in fact, she didn't even know it at all her entire life. She died never knowing this. Now, her family did know later, because there was a historian who happened to come along this victory. And she researched the golfer and began to put together, you know, the pieces of her life. And she spent forever going through newspaper articles about Margaret, and finally located her children and informed them of the mother's victory. And the children had no clue. Isn't that amazing? And you know, part of this back then obviously was the lack of media attention. It wasn't. She actually went to play this particular, what she thought was just a tournament. She happened to be in Paris. There was this golf tournament. She played, so she entered, and it just happened to be the Olympics. And she grew up playing the sport, but and her mother did too. And if that isn't familiar to me, for sure. But so she grew up playing. But again, she won this Olympic event. It was a nine-hole score, and they're saying she shot a 47, and they were nice enough to give her a porcelain bowl for her first place. The gold medals, all that didn't start until I believe it's the next games that were here in America in St. Louis. And but she got a bowl. And I assume that bowl, I don't know. I don't know where the bowl is now. But it's so fascinating, because you should look up a picture of her. And I don't know if the picture that I've seen, because there's one main one that turns up if you Google her, but the outfits, the fashion that she has on is very of that day. You know, they played in, you know, long skirts, and they had the corsets on and her hats and all of that stuff. So it's so impressive that she even did that. Now, another little twist to this story is that Mary, the mother, also entered the competition. Again, they didn't really know that this was an Olympic event. And mom shot a nine-hole score of 65. So daughter was 47 and mom was 65, and she tied for seventh. And that's kind of cool, right? Now, if I was playing with my mother, she would have beaten me. So the story would have gone totally the other way, and my mother would have won. But this remains, to my knowledge, the only time in Olympic history that a mother and daughter competed in the same sport, in the same event, at the same Olympics. Can you imagine today if that would possibly even happen? Probably not. You know, the 1900 games that they were playing in didn't get a whole lot of attention, as I said a minute ago, because at the time, the World's Fair was there as well. And, you know, as a result, many of the athletes were never made aware, you know, that the contests they were playing in were even really under the Olympic umbrella. And again, Margaret was one of them. It's it was hard to tell almost what an Olympic sport was and what it wasn't. This course that she played for the event was about 50 miles north of Paris. And from the research that I found, they were calling it the Paris World's Fair competition. And since the Olympic name wasn't really attached to it, then she didn't really know. Isn't that amazing? But again, the only reason this really even came up was because of this particular researcher who put all the pieces together. Now, some of the things that came out of that research were interesting. Margaret was actually quite tall. She was almost 6 feet tall, so that's kind of cool. And she won a lot of local tournaments and was reported to have a 2 handicap, and that she sure could hit the long ball is what the researcher said about her, and some of the research that she looked into said that. But again, her era, and like so many women of that era, Margaret just, you know, doesn't have a whole lot on the historical record. And as many women of that time, her later life of, you know, being a wife and, you know, having children, you know, all that was largely eclipsed by, you know, with work of her husband, that type of thing. And just a side note, her son's name was Philip. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie How Green Was My Valley. It was in 1941, I believe. And it's a fantastic movie. If you want to sit and cry for about 30 minutes, then that's your movie. But he was a screenwriter for that. And that's a really famous, super good movie. But anyway, my point of bringing all this in is I wish I could give you a whole lot more about her. But I can't, because there's just not much there. And I guess that's my whole point of bringing this time, that we have so many of these athletes, these golfers, these women who have done these amazing things. And hey, we got to give it to Mom, Mary Mom, for being in the Olympics too. And what a crazy statistic that, or a little tidbit that is, that they played together in the Olympics and did really well. And that this is on the record. But sadly, as I said a moment ago, you know, women's golf went away pretty much immediately and didn't come back until 2016 and for the Rio Olympics. And thankfully, we have them now. And as I said, thankfully, I have the cool Adidas uniforms that I can wear to go with it. But I hope that we can take some time to just remember Margaret during the, and Mary, but mainly Margaret, since she's the, you know, the winner, or even though she didn't know it, that we have these pieces of golf history, lost ones, but hopefully ones that we can reignite and bring back out just a little bit. So as I watch the Olympics, I'm going to think of her, and we see so much of the, you know, the pressure of some of the athletes. You know, our team this year, the United States anyway, pretty powerhouse team, lots of powerhouse teams from all over the world. And it's amazing to watch them play. And whether it's in a tournament or the Olympics, but especially with the Olympics, since they don't happen all the time, but just the whole athleticism and the marketing that goes around it and the pressure that goes around it, but that we can look back and we can see from the year 1900 of a woman who just grew up playing golf with her mom and played in a tournament. No big marketing budget, just played for the love of the game. I think that's something, hopefully, that most of our current players are doing, that they still love the game and want to play it, and that we have so many opportunities for women to do so. So my hope is that one of these days, 100 years from now, you know, that we're looking at it from 1900 to now, 100 years or whatever from now, that our stories are not forgotten, whether they are Olympics or not, but that all of the professional players and all of us who are just randomly playing or at least trying to play are not forgotten. And again, I'm going to be thinking of Margaret in her skirt, in her corset, in her hat, and how she played this nine-hole event just because she wanted to play. I think that's really just a wonderful, simple thing that can last no matter what, whether you're in the Olympics or not. All right, folks, so I'm going to keep this short this time because I want to just think a little bit more about Margaret and just leave that right there. I hope that you will take some time to go look at one of her pictures and think about what she was doing at the time, and that it was a little, quote, weird for women to be playing, especially in the Olympics, whether she knew it or not. But either way, now you know that she played and her name is not forgotten. Thank you so much for listening to On the Tee with Dr. P. You can email me at any time at onthetee.com. And you can always go to talkinggolf.com for more golf podcasts. So going forward, remember Margaret, remember Mary, and with all the Olympic strength you can muster, always go for the flag.